Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Adi, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're not sure what we're talking about, but cue the music.
Hey, I'm Santana Scalido. I was just thinking about that before we started. You know, if I'm going to write a negative Yelp review, that I shouldn't use my real name.
Yes.
So I said I was going to use the name Santana Scalido.
Yeah. Mavana Molido.
Vavana. That's what our little girl called us when she first met me.
Yeah.
Vavana.
Vavana Molido.
Molido.
You should use that.
Yeah. Vavana. Well, Vavana said... Anyway.
Well, if you can't tell by the tone of our voice, today is very relaxing and very cozy. Why? Well, today is the first time we're recording in December.
Yeah.
And that means we got to keep things cozy because things are cold out there. And so we have blankets on blankets and pillows.
Remember last year I had that letterboard up on the wall, and it said, keep Christmas cozy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I forgot.
I need to do that again.
You should.
Every year. Oh, okay. Let me share with you this little... It's a very small pet peeve, but it is a pet peeve.
Uh-huh.
I know you said, I think, that you have some hot takes, and this could also be considered a hot take, but I'm just going to get into it, okay?
Go ahead.
For a long time, there's been a trend. It's not even really a trend. It's just something that's, like, in style.
Okay.
That's been around, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, of using letterboards and like posting pictures with a letterboard on Instagram to announce all types of things. Pregnancies.
Going to school, first day of school.
Yeah, yes. First day of school. Things about your child, like milestones with their age and stuff like that. So this has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a very Instagram mom type of a thing to do.
Hmm.
So I'm fine with it.
Are you?
Like, I've done it. We've posted pictures of a letterboard, right? There's nothing wrong with it at all.
I don't think so.
It's a little cliche, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And it can still be very, like, cute and whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's this new trend that I think is going too far.
Mm.
And not in the way you would expect. I feel like this is along the same lines of using filters on Instagram, where it's like, okay, there's nothing wrong with it, but you can take it too far. And I think it's been taken too far many times.
Okay, go ahead.
People will take a picture of themselves or just like a... I can't speak. Or just like a setting.
Of a setting?
What's the first letter? Or just like a setting.
Okay.
And with the letterboard.
Okay.
So I'll just use, for example, you know, husband and wife, they're like holding up the letterboard, right?
Yeah.
But the letterboard is blank in their picture, and they're adding the text in post.
Laziness.
And I think this is going too far. I think it goes against the spirit of
the
letterboard.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of the letterboard is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is this physical thing that you have, like, taken time and put this message on.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're going to do that, first of all, you don't even need a letterboard. You can just hold up a piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
And second of all, if you're going to do it that way, like, there's nothing wrong at all or disingenuous about adding text to a photo. But doing it in that way feels so disingenuous because if you want to add text to your photo, just put like a banner or something that makes it clear, like, I'm adding text to this photo. Don't do it in a way that is like trying to trick us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I mean about like feels the same as using a filter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like, so obviously, okay, there's a line here.
Right.
Like when it comes to using filters, there's obviously a difference between editing a photo and the way that like professional photographers will do to change like the lighting or to make, you know, to make things brighter.
Yeah.
I'm not a photographer, so I don't really know what I'm talking about, but you know, there's different ways to edit a photo that makes sense. And it's part of the art of photography.
Yeah.
But then you can also go too far by, in my opinion, too far by using things like Facetune and filters and things like that.
Yeah.
In order to just change like your appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And have I talked about this on the podcast before?
I don't think so.
About my stance on like filters?
I think you have. But go ahead.
Well, my stance is, and I think this is similar to my stance on the whole letterboard thing.
Yeah.
Is that it's not wrong. This isn't like a right or wrong thing of like, oh, this is morally bad for you to use a filter.
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
No.
But I think it's just something to consider when mm-hmm. it comes to mm-hmm. showing up in like a genuine way to people yeah. and in a way that is like relatable and helps other people feel like seen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just important to kind of think about like how much with the whole filter thing to think about what it might be doing to our brains to constantly be seeing filtered faces
mm-hmm.
and to not be looking at what real faces look like anymore.
That's true.
And while I don't think that it's wrong to use a filter at all,
mm-hmm.
but I do think that if you also as a person on social media feel uncomfortable showing mm-hmm. your face mm-hmm. without a filter,
mm-hmm.
that might be something for you to like consider why that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah. why you're not comfortable with your face.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I wasn't planning on talking about any of this. So these thoughts are not super well formed.
They're not filtered.
They're not filtered. These are unfiltered thoughts. But yeah, I just thought about this because you said cozy. And then I thought, keep wow. Christmas cozy, letterboard, fake letterboards, fake faces, filters. And here we are.
Wow. Before we go any further, welcome. And we're very excited to have everybody here. And welcome to the party. Welcome to the podcast. And this podcast we just want to talk about whatever it's on our minds, right? And
yeah.
this is the episode where we get to just
talk about whatever we want.
Just relax and talk about stuff. So that being said, I just want to say that because I feel like we didn't have a really good welcome message.
But, I was just getting into it, but yeah.
But anyway, going back to what you said.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think that we should feel more comfortable with like our natural squirrely skin. be our natural squirrely self.
Yeah.
And that means with less filter stuff and more of like seeing our natural faces. That is obviously going against the culture that we live in when we look at stuff, when we look at pictures and videos on social media, when there's all these edited and filtered pictures and videos, which is not wrong. Like,
right.
There's nothing wrong with that, but yeah. just like there, I think that there needs to be a limit of like, well, like how much getting rid of a lot of things on my face is okay. And like, where does that come from? Right. Obviously I think people want to feel beautiful and look beautiful. Like, I think that there's a limit, right? Like, I think when we were buying pictures for our daughter for school, there was a add-on for like $10 or more for you to remove any blemishes, any mm-hmm. pimples on your kid's face.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking like, well, this is like a third, fourth grader, and like they shouldn't worry about that, or we shouldn't have that option mm-hmm. for our kid. And so, I don't know. I think that it's very, could be problematic.
Well, I think there should be limits in the sense that I think people for themselves should like figure out what their own limit is for themselves mm-hmm. and think about whether that's like healthy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But also as far as just like, I don't think that we should like ban filters, mm-mm. but I think a big problem comes in when people are presenting something that's been very filtered or very photoshopped as if it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big problem, especially for like young people to be looking at pictures of models or just whoever on like social media
mm-hmm.
and thinking that that's what they really look like when it's mm-hmm. something that isn't really even like realistic,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should have more of like the, again, our natural faces out there, especially if we are people that are older, that have some influence, you know, for the sake of like younger people as well. I think it's okay for us to see people on our screen that have like blemishes, that have pimples on their faces, have scars on their faces, have, you know, whatever
wrinkles
yeah. and stuff. I think that is totally good for us to see that diverse body type out there, diverse facial looks, and mm-hmm. and I think it's really good.
Yeah. I know when I'm scrolling through like my Instagram stories, I definitely appreciate when I see people who like, you know, don't have makeup on or don't have their hair done or whatever, and they just show up with their, mm-hmm. you know, their real face. Mm-hmm. And I also have no problem when people use filters and I'm like, oh, that's cool too. And that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But it also is just refreshing to sometimes see that and be like, oh, cool. Like they're here and their face is not perfect in the same way that mine isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And so we can all just like, just be okay with that because in real life, when we're talking to each other, you know, we're not looking through filters.
True. Yeah. I know I say this a lot and I bring this topic a lot, but I think I need to. And that's Marvel, like superhero stuff, right?
Yeah.
some people might be tired of me bringing this up. But if you think about that, like if you think about superheroes, you think about like just these clean cut people, looking people, attractive people, because they come from comics, right? They derive from the how they're drawn in their muscles and how much this and that they're, you know, they have. And but then to see like in the Marvel movies, you see certain heroes that have like maybe a scar or like a mole on their face or mm-hmm. whatever on their skin, and I think that's cool to see that that they don't remove that out of their faces because because they're a superhero, it doesn't mean that they need to have this like clean like look, and they need to have all these sets of muscles and certain add-on things, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that I really like that about how like the people that are being hired to be these superheroes. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, Marvel's been killing it with the like representation recently, mm-hmm. and not doing it in a way that feels like fake or forced, but mm-hmm. in a way that feels really natural. Mm-hmm. And like, this is what, it's just really refreshing to see. It feels like, oh, this is what TV should have looked like all along, you know, this whole time. And so it's really cool to see that. I know we were watching something yesterday and we were like, oh my goodness. Like there's just like so much representation when it came to like different races, different
communities, like the deaf community.
Yeah, the deaf community. So yeah, different abilities, mm-hmm. limb differences.
That's true.
Things like that, where it's just like, yeah, this is what real life is like, and this mm-hmm. is how diverse people are. But for so long, we've just been staring at, you know, just a one-dimensional representation on TV. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Good talk.
Yeah.
Again, I think this episode, there's just a lot of thoughts and stuff, and we have many topics. I think, you know, bringing things up casually and stuff. And so I want to talk about one big thing that I left out of last week's episode because we didn't have enough time. And I want to add it onto this episode. So I'm going to introduce it and then we'll get into it. Yeah, I hope you all enjoy this next little segment regarding a special individual during this time of year. I have one thing regarding Christmas.
Okay.
If you have any kids listening with you, or there's any kids like that could hear our voice, you might want
random children walking by.
Yeah, you might want to not have them listen to this. Maybe, I don't know, who knows, if you want your kids, that's fine, that's up to you, your choice. But anyway, as far as this mythical man that we kind of celebrate once a year, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'll give you a couple, 5 seconds or so to pause me or whatever. Anyway, so we're talking about Santa, right?
Yeah.
And I want to bring up this question to you.
To me?
To you.
Okay.
And we've talked about this briefly. And that is like, what would we tell children about Santa? Like, how are we going to celebrate Christmas while acknowledging like the birth of Christ, but also acknowledging the fact that Santa's a thing and there's kids out there that believe in Santa. So we have kind of dealt with this already because we had a set of three kids during Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so we kind of dealt with that differently than I think we would with kids that would be our biological kids.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with when we've had kids in the past, and yeah, we did have kids over Christmas time, they came to us with already, yeah. They already had their ideas formed about Santa. Yeah,
and that's Santa. That's the difference. That's what, that's what we did. I mean, that's the only difference.
Yeah.
Because they already knew about Santa and they believe in Santa. So every, like, holiday like that, like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy.
Leprechauns.
The leprechauns and all that stuff. Like, they already came with the idea of, like, well, I believe in this.
Yeah.
So
we just rolled with, like, did. Whatever they thought, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, just a few weeks ago, I was driving in the car, and our kiddo in the back seat said to me, I'm not sure if the Tooth Fairy is real.
And I really?
And I was like, oh, really?
That's funny.
Yeah. And she just was, she was like, she goes, well, my cousin said that moms and dads put money under the pillow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I just listened to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, yeah, so we actually talked about this before, like a while ago. I think it was a year ago.
Yeah.
And because I heard someone's take on this, and so I just want to, like, bring this up again. And I mean, obviously we have, like, time. We don't have any kids that are like that we could practice, put this, you know, on
into practice.
Right. So
yeah.
What would you do? Like, what do you think?
So I think, spoiler alert, I'm not going to give, like, a specific opinion on this.
Okay.
Not because I don't want to, but just because I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think that, I think there's a little bit of a dilemma here,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm.
And that is that, so for context, I grew up never believing in Santa Claus. Not one day did I believe that he was real.
I did.
And you did.
Yeah.
For a while, right?
A long time.
Yeah. I also, for a while, was kind of under the impression that, I know this sounds very dramatic, and this is a pretty dramatic way to say it, but, you know, that, like, Santa was trying to, like, steal Christmas from Jesus, and that any kind of attention that was given to Santa was being, like, taken away from Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with the idea and the story of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of kind of whimsy and, like, charm that I think comes from the whole idea of children, you know, believing this.
Yeah.
The problem that I see, though, is that you're kind of actively lying to your kids.
You are lying.
And I remember when I found out about the Tooth Fairy, because I did believe in the Tooth Fairy for, like, a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I found out about the Tooth Fairy, I did feel kind of betrayed.
Oh.
And I think that's kind of a personality thing. I think that my mom also shared that, like, she felt betrayed when she found out about Santa Claus. And I think that's part of the reason why she never told us. But anyway, so I think that, yeah, part of that is, like, a personality thing. But I do just worry about, you know, kids kind of growing up with this idea, you know, because when you're really little, pretty much everything that your parents says you believe.
Yeah.
And you have no reason to doubt them.
Yeah.
And I don't want, obviously, as your children get older, they realize that you aren't perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that that's good and normal. And I don't want our kids to believe everything, to believe that we're, like, perfect and that everything we think and say is true. But
speak for yourself.
Whatever. But I think finding out that that your parents let you believe or actively told you this thing that wasn't true for so many years I think it can be traumatizing to some kids and not to all kids, but I think for some, you know, I don't know.
I can speak on that.
Go ahead.
The other some people that don't get this trauma added after realizing that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Yeah.
Because obviously I found out, right?
Right.
And it was by a classmate, like a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in elementary school. And he said, like, did you hear that? Like, that Santa Claus is not, he's not real. And I was like,
did
shocked.
You hear?
Like, do you know? Like, do you know?
Did you know Santa's been exposed?
Yeah. Do you know that he's not real?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? And part of me, I was like, I wish I didn't listen, had listened to that.
Oh.
Because I didn't want to believe that.
Yeah.
And so he said it, so it must be true. So then I did tell my parents, and they just laughed, you know. And and so I think they knew that I was already, like, exposed to the truth. And
yeah.
So, yeah, and that's the thing is that because I also grew up in, I mean, I went to a public school, so I had classmates that I believe the same thing I did. And,
yeah.
You know, and lived similar lives. So, yeah, I think that also there's that, like, having peers and you hear about just, you know, stuff, right? And you hear about Santa being real, about other things being real. And I think that in a way, yeah, it is lying. Like, if you tell mm-hmm. your kids that Santa Claus is real and celebrate that and whatnot. We did lie to our kids, three kids, you know, because they did believe in Santa. And
yeah.
So we just went along with that. Here's a take that I heard like a year ago or so, as far as like this guy talking about, like if the kids were to come up to him and ask, is Santa Claus real? And he would be like straight up like, nope, he's not. And he has kind of similar like idea behind that is that like, well, he doesn't want to lie to his kids.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want his kids to grow up like with them being lied to. And
yeah.
Once they find out that certain things are not real and, you know, even though their parents said otherwise, it's like he wants to tell the kids, like, you know what, you could trust me because I've told you the truth ever since you were a little kid, you
yeah.
know, and especially with Santa and
yeah.
whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. And, like, we are planning on fostering and having kids come, and they might come with different, like, beliefs and values and stuff, and mm-hmm. they might come with the idea of, like, yeah, we believe in Santa. And so we're going to have to, like, juggle that if
yeah.
we have bio kids that they didn't grow up believing in Santa.
Right.
You know, and like, obviously we're not sure what we're going to do with it with like, I think, right. Like we're not too sure
yeah. Yeah.
what we're going to do if whether to tell kids that Santa's real or not. But I just wanted to bring that discussion, you know, to light and expose Santa. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't know. There's just other ways to look at it. Like also I think believing in Santa, it's also, I don't know, I mean, as a kid, if you put yourselves in your kids' shoes, like it's like, I don't know, I mean, I thought it was harmless and also think it was like very like innocent.
Yeah.
And part of your childhood, there's that kind of like thing that you could celebrate during the Christmas time mm-hmm. and look forward to and
yeah
and have and just I don't know, like they're just, it's like part of your childhood. So I think that if like, in one way I'm thinking, well, if you tell your kids, or once they find out that Santa Claus is not real, once they know that, then part of your childhood is already gone, you know? And so part of that kind of like memory or nostalgia is done, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that I think that it's so fun and like it's very just magical and
yeah
and a very sweet thing to, you know, to believe and like experience.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's necessarily like, I don't think it's something that they're losing or that like is gone.
Right.
Because like for me, I just always knew that Santa Claus was a character and that, you know, that he was like not real, but that some people thought, you know, that some kids did like really believe he was real,
yeah.
but that it was just a story.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think there was anything, I don't know. I just thought that like, I just kind of always believed the same thing that like adults know.
Right.
as well,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. And I think Santa could be like, quote unquote, celebrated or whatever.
Or still be part of like
part
Christmas.
Of your life
yeah.
by mentioning Santa as like part of a story.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, I think that that could be also be done. But anyway, yeah, I think like we don't want to condemn anyone if you don't tell your kids or you do tell your kids about Santa or, you know, whatever you do.
No, like, it's not like a right or wrong thing at all.
There's not. No. You know, we, again, we both like grew up differently and, yeah. And look at us now. I think look at I'm now. Fine with, you know, knowing that Santa Claus isn't real. And like, again, like it was, I was definitely bummed out. Because I was like, oh, he's up there somewhere in North Pole, like in the North Pole. And where's the North Pole? I don't know. Somewhere up there, up north.
I would love to hear from anybody if you did feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because with the whole Tooth Fairy thing, like, that was such a short-lived thing.
Yeah.
But I would be curious to know if there are kids out there, I mean, adults out there who really did feel, like, betrayed or upset or hurt when they... You know, when they found out from the perspective of like feeling like they were lied to.
Yeah.
I've also heard parents talk about, which I think is kind of silly, but a little bit funny. I've heard parents say that I paid for all of these Christmas gifts and I'm not going to let this made up character take credit for it.
That's true. And that's another take that this other guy that is this wrestler from WWE and Austin too and stuff, and he was saying the same thing too. It's like, also, like, I'm not, yeah, like, I worked hard for these gifts. Like, I paid you know, out of my own pocket to give you this thing. I'm not gonna have someone else take the credit for it.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to know that, like, I gave you this, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And it, one last thing is our foster kid one day, I'm not sure if you remember this, but I asked her, because I think they were doing gingerbread houses and stuff, and so we're talking about Christmas and stuff, and I told her, hey, like, hey, when you hear the words Christmas, presents, gingerbread houses, cookies, what does that mean to you?
That's so something that you would ask a kid. Only you would ask a child that question.
I know. It's like, I had to, you know, just like, you know what? I know you're a child, but I want to know, like, it's like, what other words could I use to fully, like, hint at, like, about Santa? Like, do you believe in Santa? So ask her, like, when you hear these words, what does that make you think of? Does it make you think of anybody? And I didn't say that. That's what I just said. What does that make you think of?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean to you? I think that's what I said.
What does that mean to you? It means and, happiness.
And she said, presents. Like, oh, I get to get gifts. And she started to go off on this, like, tangent of, like, oh, I want this and this and that. And so I was like, okay. Well, clearly, I guess, you know, I don't want to ask her, do you believe in Santa? Yes or no?
Yeah.
I just wanted to, just ask her, you know, throw out some terms and see what she thinks about that.
I know. Mm-hmm. One part of being a foster parent that you might not know about is being a detective and trying to figure out, like, certain things that you might not know about the child because you just met them.
It's true.
And so, that's like a small thing, but that's an important thing. Going into the Christmas season, like, you've got to know what they believe.
Yeah. and just be, you know, and I think also because of the trauma and everything, like, you, like, again, I'm just would love to tap more into, like, the Santa Claus or stories of about him and, or just, you know, just celebrate stuff that just means joy to her.
Yeah.
You know, to the kids. And so, yeah. But anyway, yeah. So yeah. I think obviously my questioning was not very, it wasn't that subtle, but I had to do it.
What does that mean to you? You should have asked, like, what happens on Christmas Eve or, like, something like that. Something a little more specific.
Yeah, I know. I had to tone it down. I know.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I agree. It's not the, it wasn't the best questions, but you got the job done.
Well, no, it didn't. You didn't find out anything except for that she wants presents for Christmas. I think you already knew that.
That's true.
Anyway. So I have a little update to give.
Do you?
Yeah. On something that we talked about on this podcast previously.
What is it?
So a few, maybe like 30 minutes ago, I was on Facebook because I was trying to get information about the elote cart down the street.
Elote means corn.
Yeah.
Corn on the cob. If you.
So typically elote, it means corn, but it usually refers to, like, Mexican style corn.
Yeah.
And there's a cart down the street that, or a truck more like.
Mm.
It's a truck. And they sell elote and we want to get some. But anyway, I was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Looking for information about that. And I came across, oh, and also I was looking for information about the tree lighting.
Mm.
But I came across something.
There's this big tree, by the way. Big, massive tree. Right, like maybe a couple blocks away from us, there's this university called Western University.
Western Oregon
University.
Yeah.
And there's a big, big tree, and they decorate it and with Christmas lights and stuff, and it's really beautiful. So they're gonna have a lighting, like, I think, now. Like in
like an hour, actually.
Yeah, an hour. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I came across something unexpected.
Uh-huh.
And that is, somebody posted this article that mm-hmm. was published on December 1st.
Okay.
So just a few days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah, as we're recording, 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it says. I'm going to read to you a few like bits and pieces from it. Okay. So this was posted on sweethomenews.com.
Interesting.
Okay, so it says...
Actually, Sweet Home is actually a city.
Yeah, in Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay. So this says, one of 62 surviving steam locomotives in Oregon will ride the rails between Lebanon and Sweet Home for the foreseeable future. And so this is all about, it's a full article. It's all about that steam engine
that we talked about previous episodes ago.
Yeah, so I wanted to follow up because this has way more information.
Oh.
And I'm not going to share everything because it's a lot, but I thought this would be very interesting. So this steam engine is about to become operational and they're going to be using it.
What?
So it says on Friday, November 19th.
On Reddit.
The Santa Maria Valley 205, a fully restored 1924 Baldwin 262 Prairie locomotive, made its inaugural public run on the Albany and Eastern Railroad from the Santiam Excursion Train Station at 750 South 3rd Street in Lebanon to the Weyerhaeuser Willamette Industries Mill site in Sweet Home and back. So it made its inaugural run.
When?
Last month, on November 19th.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they had a whole ribbon cutting ceremony.
We missed it.
Yeah, there were 150 community members.
Oh my gosh. There.
And here's what I found out. Yamhill resident George Lavicott is the train's primary restorer. That's what it says in the article.
Mm.
It says, with the help of friends, he worked at his independent shop. So that's the town right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
For 38 years on the 97-year-old train.
Mm-hmm.
And so this train was originally built for the San Joaquin and Eastern Railroad. Let's see, it was in Fresno. And then that railroad line, mm-hmm. it says it was abandoned in 1933.
Mm.
And then it was moved, and then it was retired in 1950. And it was displayed at the Santa Maria Fair Park in Santa Maria.
Mm-hmm.
So then this man, this Yamhill man,
yeah,
he got the train in 1983.
Okay.
And so he's been working on it since then.
Okay.
So for 38 years.
Wow.
Okay, but there's a few things I need to highlight here. So this is a quote from him. He said, "This has been a labor of love, not only for me, but for many others. Our shared love, respect, and admiration for the steam era and confidence that this project was doable has gotten us here today."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I found this very interesting. He also said, so this I think is something he said at the ceremony. Yeah, this is what he said at the ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yeah.
He said, first of all, a steam locomotive is the closest machine man has created to replicate life itself.
What?
They are living and breathing creatures, and sometimes they need a little help from mankind.
Hmm.
One night, years ago, the Lord came to me in a vision and told me that there was a steam locomotive in the fairgrounds in Santa Maria. I should go there, take it out of its resting place, and make it run again.
What?
I asked what I should do once it's done, and the response was, I'll get back to you on that.
What?
So 38 years later, here we are.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I know.
That is amazing in so many levels.
I know.
That's crazy. Just like yesterday, I think we heard it.
Yeah.
At night.
I was hearing it a lot yesterday.
Yeah. Recently, we... Wow. That is pretty cool. Wow. That's awesome.
And then I have one more little Easter egg to share about it. There is a small stuffed animal pig that sits on top of the train's headlight. And he explained, as a lot of you know, once a nickname is attached to someone or thing, it sticks. A good friend of mine, Richard Yeager, who loved large mainline steam locomotives, called the 205 just another Baldwin pig. The name of Porky stuck ever since.
Porky?
So I guess it's known as Porky.
Porky.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So now we know that two things, that it's functional.
Yep.
And that its name is Porky.
Yeah.
Nickname. Wow. That's pretty cool. I would love to ride this locomotive train.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
If possible. Just to like reminisce of the times we've heard this almost every other night, and to just wonder like, where is this train, and to be on the train. I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That's 38 years. That's a lot of patience and dedication for the vision that he received. And that's awesome.
I know.
Kudos to Mr. What's his name?
Lavicott, I think.
Lavicott. Wow.
Yeah. And it says that, yeah, Lavicott. It says that there was a couple who, or somebody who came all the way from Colorado for the ribbon cutting ceremony.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It says, so Randall said Santiam excursion trains will, quote, intermix the steam engine into our normal busy schedule. Using it on the Candy Cane Express and other special rides, there may also be future steam weekend events.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So apparently this is going to be like a thing that it can be used on that that line.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever in town in Oregon, you should definitely ride the Porky.
Porky. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy news. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought I needed to follow up on that because that was a lot more information. Remember last time I was struggling to find like any information about it?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to listen to the origins of this story, just listen to, I don't know. I'm not sure what episode it was.
Just listen to all 59 or all 60 of the episodes and you'll find it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I don't think I've talked about this on here before. I think I've told you about this.
Mm.
This is a true hot take.
Yeah.
Or unpopular opinion, whatever you want to call it. Mm. And I think this needs to be dealt with.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm being serious about this.
Go ahead, yeah.
It's not super important, but I think that it is... I think I'm right. I think I'm very right about this.
Mm.
Okay. You know when you're in like a drive-thru line or any kind of line to like buy something and the situation where you get up to the line and then the person says to you like, oh, the person in front of you paid for your food or your drink.
That doesn't happen to me.
That's never happened to you?
No.
Never ever?
No. That's like paying it forward, right? Like someone did something... Did a good
deed.
Well,
kind of. That's what I'm about to get into.
Okay.
So...
I mean, I've heard of this happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's only basically two situations in which this would happen. The first one is if you're trying to hit on somebody.
I guess.
But in a drive-thru line, it doesn't really work out because they can just drive away and you'll probably never see them.
It's
That's
true.
More of like in a bar.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this person...
Or like a Starbucks or something.
This drink is from those ladies over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that would be one situation where you could do it is if you were trying to like... flirt with somebody.
Mm.
But more commonly, especially in this day and age, I think it's more seen as like a quote random act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So one time I was with my friend in the car and we were in the Starbucks line and she noticed that there was a cop behind us in the line and she wanted to like pay for his drink.
Yeah.
The barista was like, oh, that's really nice. People actually do that a lot for cops. But I've also just had it happen randomly before.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, maybe it's Christmas time, you're just feeling generous.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, that you want to pay for the order of the people behind you.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I've heard people talk about how that this is a very risky thing to do when you have no idea. Like, the people behind you could have just been ordering for, like, 10 people.
Yeah.
And, like, a massive bill.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's what I'm trying to get at. I've been in this situation where I pull up and the person tells me, the person in front of you paid for your meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in that moment what's expected of me, which is to, quote, pay it forward, which is technically backwards, and pay for the meal of the person behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am here to say that we need to stop that expectation, because this is no longer a random act of kindness. Mm-hmm. If that's the expectation, is that you're going to go do it for the next person immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It now has just become an obligation for you to pay for a random meal
mm-hmm.
that you have no control over.
Yeah.
So I think it's happened to me twice. And one time I think I did pay for the person behind me. And the second time I just said thank you and drove away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like, I felt kind of weird about it.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, maybe I should have, quote, should have, like, paid it forward. But yeah. I don't really think so, because if the whole point of it originally is to be, like, a random act of kindness.
Yeah.
And to sort of, like, brighten someone's day.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're doing that by then now forcing them socially.
Yeah.
To pay for somebody else's food.
Mm.
Like, I think that the act of kindness is you saying, hey, I'm paying for my own meal.
Yeah.
Or my own latte. But you know what? I'm feeling generous and I want to just do something kind for somebody. Right. And I want to pay for that person's as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe you notice something about them mm-hmm. that you really can, like, relate to or something. Maybe you notice that it's a parent who has, like, young children, or
yeah, so there's compassion involved. Yeah,
and you have that, like,
empathy, yeah,
care.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to make sure you're not doing it in a condescending way or something, like, right, in a grocery store, and you're like, let me just pay for this person. But
yeah. But
I think it takes away the whole kindness aspect mm-hmm. when there's this, like, social obligation attached to it. Thoughts?
I think that it has to do with your own personality.
Okay.
And, like, I've never been in that situation, but based on, like, just who I am, I think that if I came up to, like, the you know, to the cashier and they said, hey, so-and-so paid for your drink, I would have been like, awesome, a free drink. That's amazing. I received that. Thank you.
Yeah, you love free things.
I do love free things. So I would, like, you know, if I could say thank you so much, blah, blah. It's
yeah.
like if I can, then I'll kind of feel bad. Like, well, I want to say thank you.
Yeah.
In order to say thank you, I think that you might feel like, yeah, well, let me pay it forward, you know, and mm-hmm. do that same thing. And I think that it's okay for that type of, like, thought to be sparked from that random act of kindness.
Yeah.
You know, I think absolutely. It's totally fine. I think it's cool to be like, yeah, I think that this is how I felt and I enjoyed it and I loved it. And I want to share that moment and give that moment to someone else.
Yes.
I think it's totally awesome.
Yeah.
And then, but then if you feel like obligated, I think that, well, you know, you're just doing that because you feel obligated. You might feel guilty.
Yeah.
Ashamed that if you don't do this, then it's going to be seem like bad,
mm-hmm.
wrong. I do hear what you're saying. And I think that it might do with, like who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Like I said, again, if I were in that situation, I think I would just take the drink and leave. And then maybe one day be like, yeah, maybe one day I'll do that.
Yes.
You know, but like I got a free drink out of it and I was cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that I'm going to choose to believe that that person did that out of just free will, out of, like, just because he or she wanted to be kind.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know, and then maybe one day I'll do the same thing out of, like, kindness and empathy, compassion, or whatever it is.
Right.
But I don't want to do it out of, like, obligation.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that in a perfect world,
mm-hmm.
the way I would see this happening, and I think it can happen mm-hmm. this way in our world, mm-hmm. is that you have that desire to, you know, to do something kind.
Yeah.
And you, in some way, recognize, like, the person. Like, you either see them in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in a grocery store, whatever. And so you make that decision of, I want to do something kind for this person
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. And then you do it. And then that person receives that gift, that kindness. And then, yes, that can spark that idea of like, oh, I want to do this for somebody else, you know, at some point. And then maybe the next time or like the next week or something, they're able to do that for somebody else.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of like this paying it forward line. And I know that I've heard stories about like how there was this like chain reaction of this happening to where it went on for like 100 customers or something.
And is that true?
I really think it is. And I remember hearing about this and it being touted as like this amazing, like, oh, this beautiful, like act of selflessness and kindness and everything. And I just personally, I just don't see it that way. I feel like in that situation, nobody got anything, got like a gift or like a kindness out of it, except for only in word only.
Yeah.
Like they didn't actually get to receive like the tangible blessing of that thing, but I guess, but symbolically they did because technically their thing was paid for by somebody else. But I just feel like it's a lot more beautiful if it is out of a true, like,
sincerity.
Yeah. And like randomness in a way too.
Yeah.
Also makes it more like
beautiful,
meaningful.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah. I think that we should be aware of if there's any maybe expectations, guilt, or any other like feelings you might feel when that is done to you.
Yeah.
Because like first off, there's nothing wrong with doing some like buying someone's dinner or buying someone's drink.
Yeah.
It's just more of like, I guess, like the motive there, right?
Right.
If it's you're feeling guilty, obligated to do it, pre-pressured. It's okay to be like, yeah, I don't want to.
Right.
And to be aware of like, yeah, I feel like I need to do this, you know? So I think it should be more of the wanting. I think that's what we're trying to get at, right?
It's like, yeah,
you know, if you want to do it, do it. But don't do it because you feel like you need to.
Yeah. And maybe you're also in a situation where you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I think especially in that instance, you should just receive it as like a gift and not feel the need to like nervously slide your credit card for this order behind you that you have no idea how much it might cost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also a real like reality of it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's important to talk about this, especially during this time.
Yeah.
You know, since it's a season of giving and receiving and stuff, it's like there's expectations and, you know, if you, I've been in that situation where like, it's with you and I, like we're very open and talk about stuff like when it's, you know, we're celebrating an anniversary or something, when I open your gift and you give me this amazing thing, I'm like, oh man, I feel like I need to go to the store and get you something, you know, to equal, you know, the gifts, you know, but the gift shouldn't have this like amazing value. It should also be like the fact that the person, you know, the thoughts that came with it, you know, and the words that came with it. And I think that like we shouldn't, like, it's hard because obviously gifts like have value based on like how much it costs,
right.
Yeah, I think it's good to be very cautious and aware of like where are we coming from when we're giving gifts or receiving gifts, right?
Yeah.
You were going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say that, yeah, just on like on Thanksgiving, I was actually thinking about this and I kind of wanted to do that for somebody, to like pay for the person behind me. And I genuinely was thinking of like, I was at Starbucks and I didn't end up doing it, but I was considering like telling the barista, like, I want to pay for the person behind me and please tell her, like, just accept it and don't feel the need to like pay it forward right now. You know, don't feel the need to like pass it on. Like just enjoy it, you know?
Yeah. This is a good, good talk because I know you brought this up before, like privately and on the podcast to me, but it's just something that I'm like, well, I don't can't relate in that way because I don't think I would feel that way, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
I might feel that way.
But wait, which way?
As far as like feeling like I need to pay it forward because someone gave it, you know, gave me a gift. It's good to be aware of that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's a personality thing because
it might be. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think for you, yeah,
I love free stuff.
You love gifts and you love free stuff. And
deals,
so
sales.
You would just like accept it and be grateful for it.
Run away.
But I think when it happened to me, I also was with somebody and they also were like, felt weird about it. Like, oh yeah, maybe you should have. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I just wanted to like receive it.
Interesting. So this is something that is not just like a you thing. It's,
I don't
it
think
is,
so.
It is a kind of maybe universal.
But I would love to hear people's thoughts about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
call in right now at.
Yeah, we're taking a caller. Hello, miss. No. Oh, yeah. But I can't remember if it happened to me once or twice. Either both times I just took it, or one time I like paid it forward and the other time I can't remember. I might have just accepted it both times, but yeah. But that's what I would want somebody to do, would just be to, if I did it for someone else, I would want them to just accept it and be like, wow, I got a free coffee today.
This is interesting. As a sociologist, this is a fascinating thing that I
love
it
when
to
you
do.
Call yourself a sociologist,
because I am one. I would love to observe people, and yeah. I think this could be a really good project.
Yeah.
And you know, write an essay about,
yeah,
to just sit down at maybe a Starbucks and to, if I had money to like tell people like, here's $10, buy the drink, you know, the person behind you.
Yeah. And see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If only.
If only. Well, if only I had $10.
If only I had $10. No, man, like $100,
right?
Because
then you would keep, people. You would want to keep doing it. Yeah, obviously, yeah. You don't just want one data point. Yeah.
My big and last hot take is, why are there no clocks/time being shown at airports?
Okay.
Like, not, I don't mean like at terminals and stuff, because there are digital clocks at the terminals, right? Like at the place you're supposed, at the gate, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
At the gate.
At the gate. But as far as like the big rooms where you need to transition from like security to,
yeah,
the gates, from the gates to the baggage claim, why are there no clocks? Why is there no time being shown like
on
the wall? It's very weird.
Because it's such a time sensitive place.
Right. Of all places, this is a place where you're arriving to the airport, and at a specific time you need to be at the gate. At a specific time, the plane will leave.
Yeah.
So it's very time sensitive.
It is.
And like, I can't think of any other place that is very time sensitive, like, except for like, besides like transportation, right? Like areas.
Yeah.
Like train stations. Like, yes, they have. They have. Time, like, it's shown right there.
Yeah.
And trains a little different. Train stations, they're a little different, because it's one specific time, it leaves at this time, and that's it. But with planes, there's just like international.
You have your boarding time also.
You do have that. You also, it's also like, there's different time zones.
Yeah.
People are coming in and out out of different time zones.
True.
Different countries. So it's kind of very mixed, right? But I think that there should be maybe multiple digital times. One showing like that time zone. It's very important to have these times out there. And especially as you're like transitioning from security.
Yeah.
And I know that it's very, I guess, obsolete, because we now have like, phones with time,
yeah,
and most people wear watches as well. I mean, some people wear watches, but
yeah,
but the majority of the population that goes to the airports have phones.
Right.
So I get it, but it's something that hasn't been around like at all, and so it is like in a way tradition for them to not have any clocks. So it's something that I was looking at before recording this podcast. I was looking at like an answer to my question.
Okay.
And I couldn't find any answers, any discussions from the actual like airports.
Okay.
I did find a lot of like discussion forums, people just asking the same question of like, why is there no clocks and, you know, digital like time displayed at airports, except for the ones at the gate.
Yeah.
And yeah, just people were like, yeah, it's obsolete and, you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
Or some people were like, yeah, it does matter because it's very time sensitive. And so it's just very bizarre. And
yeah,
something that like, I get very nervous about time when I'm arriving to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think we should have like that pressure of like, well, you have to make sure everything's like set in stone.
Yeah.
We have everything gathered, and we have to be at the airport at this time, and then we have to be past security at this time. So after you remove like everything, your phone and take your shoes off and everything. Like, it's hard to just gather everything up and then look at the time and stuff. So I think that it's easy for you to just, it would be easy to just look at the time if it's displayed, right? So
right,
what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you completely. I think it is weird. And I think once you pointed it out to me, or I pointed it out, I can't remember.
I think I did.
Maybe, yeah. I was like, yeah, what the heck? It doesn't make any sense. And
yeah.
I think I was going to say the same thing about the, when you're going through security, like, first of all, you have to have out your ticket and your ID. Mm-hmm. And then you have to, like, quickly put everything away, mm-hmm. including, you know, your phone, everything, take your shoes off, all that, to go through security.
Yeah, any metal things needs to be... Yeah.
And sometimes that whole process, even after you've taken off your jacket and your phone and everything, can take a while to get through.
Yeah, and then put those things back on.
Then you're on the other side and you're dealing with all that. And then even take away that time frame, even if, like, after that or before or whatever, you have to... not only, like, take out your phone to look at the time, but then you also have to keep checking, like, your boarding pass, which mm-hmm. sometimes is on your phone, but sometimes it's not. Your boarding pass, which then has, like, the time the flight leaves and the boarding time.
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot of things to juggle, because I feel like I constantly forget the boarding time. Mm-hmm. And so I keep, like, looking back at my boarding pass, and right. it'd be so helpful to just be able to look up all the time and be like, oh, yeah, there's the time. So mm-hmm. I think there should be giant... digital clocks, like, all over the airport.
It should, yeah. And there's some places, like, I've traveled a lot in the U.S. and international, and there's been maybe two airports where I've seen, like, there's a big digital clock displayed in kind of the main area.
Yeah.
And I remember that because it's rare when we see that happen. Right. So I was like, yeah, that's very cool. Like, that's well needed.
Yeah.
And we need more of that, like, just... everywhere else. It's very fascinating and very bizarre to realize, like, well, how come we don't have any? Like, obviously the airport does make a ton of money, like, from the parking alone. Like, they just have all these, like, fees and expensive things, you know. And so I know that they could afford it, and I kind of just want to, like, feel like I would be able to, like, donate maybe, like, a small digital just a clock and put it, like, on the wall, you know? And
yeah.
It's just, like, it doesn't take that much to put a digital clock.
No, it doesn't.
So.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. So here's my last story, and I think I've, like, kind of amped it up a little too much here at the house, and
it's okay.
I'm very excited to talk about this, and so here we go.
Okay.
So we're moving to California, and we needed some moving boxes, and...
Well, I just had a thought of what your story might be about.
I don't think you'll ever guess.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need some moving boxes, right? So I was on Craigslist, and I found someone that had... a ton of moving boxes and shipping supplies
right.
for free.
Right.
And so I was like, yep, like, here, I love free stuff.
He loves free stuff.
I want this. I need this.
Yeah.
And so we agreed on a day to meet. So on a Tuesday, this past Tuesday, we meet up. I was like, hey, I'm available. Can we do this right now? And they're like, yep, come over. So here's the address. Boom. Okay. I'm on my way. So I get there and then, turns out that they are moving. They just moved in to Oregon from California, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny, right? And so then anyway, I get to the house, and so I knock, and she opens the door, and she was like, oh, hey, you know, here's the boxes. And then she says, are you from Salinas?
What?
I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, how'd you know? I was like, well, your area code says 831. Oh, okay. Are you from Salinas?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And so then she quickly, like, points to her husband, and she says, he used to work at Salinas. And so, yeah, then the husband's, like, points, you know, and they're these elderly couple.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he's like, yep, I worked there for 2 years, and from, like, 1970-something to 1970-something.
Uh-huh.
And he says he was a police officer.
Oh, okay.
And so he's now retired. And I was like, no way, that's amazing. And so if you want to get me really hyped, you just have to say, like, you're from Salinas, or, like, I know Salinas, because then I then lose it, and I just want to talk about Salinas, because obviously that's my, that's where I was born and raised, for those people that don't know.
Yeah.
So I was like, no way. Like, that is so crazy. I was like, that's a small world. Like, yeah, that's so crazy that you work there. And so there's a ton of boxes. So the husband, like, helps me putting in my car. So we do that, right? And so we, as we're doing that, we're talking about Salinas. And he's asking me these questions of, like, do you used to go to this place? I was like, yeah, that's where I grew up. That's where I used to get a haircut. And he mentioned this very dangerous neighborhood. Okay. I was like, oh yeah, I'm aware. I'm not going to mention it, but I was like, yeah, like I'm aware of that place. Like, I avoided it, whatever. Right. So we both knew that's very dangerous. And
yeah.
Then he said, the street I used to, like, I remember driving up the street and this, and I'm like, yeah, I'm very close to that place. And he mentioned Natividad, the hospital. I was like, that's where I was born and raised. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is pretty crazy. Uh-huh. And so we were just talking about the certain names of the streets and just how when he was there, it was just fields. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I went off and shared how I was just there like a week ago visiting family and how things have changed. Like, now it's like a big city with like a bunch of like new stores and the mall has been renovated. So I shared all that stuff with him. And so we're just like going back and forth talking about our stories of Salinas and everything. And so I thought that was very cool. So once we, like, he helped me put all the moving boxes in the car, we're just there for like 30 minutes talking about Salinas.
No way.
I'm leaning on my car, he leans on my car, and we're just like talking about just his work with, you know, being a police officer there for 2 years. And so, like, we both know, like, it was dangerous stuff. And so we were aware of that. And so we're talking about that. I'm like, yeah, it was pretty crazy over there. And I mentioned the high school I went to, and he was like, yeah, I know where that is. And and so it was really cool because, like, again, it was like, it felt like it's like a small world, right?
Where
it's just very interesting to just meet these people. And one of the fascinating things he said, and I'm glad that I stuck around because after we were talking about certain things, I was like, I think I was just thinking in my head, I don't think I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, keep on talking with him. And I'm glad I stuck around because he then mentioned the coolest thing from all this, right? He said, he brought up his aunt. It's like, yeah, my aunt, she had a friend who was married to Cesar Chavez.
What?
And I was like, what? And that's what I said. What? So he repeats himself. It's like, yeah, my aunt had a friend who was married to Cesar Chavez. I was like, like, what? That's crazy. It's like, yeah. Like, and I remember one Christmas gathering where I was little, I was young, and we had a family gathering at a house. And so, and he was right there just hanging out with the family. And I said, no way. And he says, yes way. Like, yeah. And I'm like, what? So for those people that don't know, Cesar Chavez, I've talked about him before in the podcast, and he's well known to the Latino Mexican community, and he helped just have really good laws for farmers to work under.
Yeah.
And also this older gentleman I was talking to, he said also, like, that benefited also the Oki farmers, the Oki workers, and he was this famous activist and that did great awesome things and in that area and Salinas and other places and benefited the agriculture just world and workers. So yeah, he was saying that he was around his family.
Wow.
And I was like, I've never met someone that, like, hung out with, like, has been in the same room as Cesar Chavez. So I was just very, like, shocked by that and blown away that happened. And so I was like, yeah, he was around. And so that's what we shared those moments, and he shared so much more about, like, the world in Salinas and Fresno and other places. And we talked about the movie McFarland, which I think I mentioned that to you before, but it's a great movie. You should watch it. I recommend that. It's about cross country runners.
Oh yeah.
And this high school in McFarland. And so he said, like, the owner of this, he points to his house, the owner of this house, they actually went to, I think he said that he met the runners from that, like, the movie, like, that was portraying those runners. Yeah. Or went to that school. And so it was pretty fascinating stuff, that the things he was telling me. And
yeah.
Yeah. So the biggest takeaway was, I was talking to this police officer, former police officer, retired now, a white, like, tall man that just had big, like, love for Mexican culture and Latino culture. And for him to work in Salinas knowing, like, the grind. And it was a cool moment to realize that he just, like, really loved that, the, like, my culture, you know, and the food and the movies and the people, like Chavez and all that. And he even like called that out. He's like, yeah, like, you know, people might look at me and not realize like the my experience I had with like the Mexican culture and like the love that I have and what I think about it and stuff. And so I think it was a really good discussion and just like I was not expecting that at all to be there for like 30 minutes talking to him about my life and his life as a cop in Salinas. And so it was pretty wild and pretty fascinating to share that moment with him. And super good.
Wow,
super good. That's and awesome. So again, I'm glad I stuck around for that time and I'm glad that he shared all that stuff. So that's it, that's all I have to say.
That's crazy. I was not expecting that.
I know. Yeah, I know. I came home and told you, like, I had just something to say to you on the podcast. So
I know you told me that the trip took a while.
Yeah, I did.
To, like, get there and get the boxes and everything. Yeah. And I had no idea why. That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty cool. Good stuff.
Wow. Well, I think that's going to do it for today.
Yeah.
This was fun.
It was.
And we talked about a lot of random stuff, a few hot takes.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate it a lot. Let us know if you enjoy these more like laid back, chill episodes where we just kind of like chat, because I think they're really fun. And these are oftentimes the types of podcasts that I enjoy listening to also. So let us know what you think. And if you have any opinions on any of these things we talked about today, we would love to hear them. So definitely make sure you're following us on Facebook and Instagram at ThePolithos, or you can email us at ThePolithosPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And we would love to hear from you guys. If you want to help us out, you can share this podcast with a friend. You can share it on your social media. And you could also give us a review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. And I hope that
thank you.
Your December is off to a wonderful start.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we didn't mention that we said we were going to be doing the movie review this week. And we just, it's a lot of movies for us to watch and we haven't watched them all. So we're just pushing it till next week.
Yes.
So thanks for your patience.
Thank you. And as Princess Diana says, carry out a random act of kindness with no expectation of reward. Saving the knowledge that one day someone might do the same for you.
See you next time.
Hi there. Thanks so much for sticking around. Here are the 16 Christmas movies that will be in the tournament next week. And fun fact, these are all movies from the 90s. So the first one, we have Jingle All the Way, Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2, Miracle on 34th Street, Santa Claus, The Muppet Christmas Carol, Jack Frost, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, While You Were Sleeping, To Grandmother's House We Go, I'll Be Home for Christmas, The Preacher's Wife, All I Want for Christmas, Christmas Every Day, and then Borrowed Hearts. So those are all the 16 movies we'll be watching. So if you want to watch some of these before you listen to the podcast, go right ahead. And we'll see you next week. Bye.